It's the wrong. Ah. Okay. That one works. Very good. All right. Well, what I was saying was, thank you for letting me take some time off, but I am grateful to you, but I am also glad to be back among you. And I want to thank Ron and Lois Carlberg in particular. Ron, for stepping in and leading the service and bringing the word to you all. I know that you enjoyed that very, very much. I'm just sorry I didn't get a chance to hear him, but I will one day. I will one day. And Lois, for doing the children's moment. I appreciate her very much and her leadership with our children. And it's a great day to celebrate and be in the house of the Lord. And I'm trying to bring some cooler weather down here, but it didn't quite happen. So we're just going to have to bring all the cool weather we can on our own. We can say, God, please cool us off. Cool us off. It's the fall. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning, and welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. My name is Jamie Stowers. I'm a lay servant of the United Methodist Church, and this is my last Sunday this month to be your servant. We have a few announcements here. In your bulletin, you've got these envelopes. You need to go ahead and get them out now and stick some money in them because the collection plate will be coming by. It's for one of our missions. Missions is a great part of the Christian ministry. And we have one of the greatest representatives for this mission right over here in Betty Kuhn. Would you like to?
You know, I get a newsletter from there every month. And there was a story on there this month when I got it. And a girl wrote in, and she's in her 30s now. And she said, thank you, thank you, thank you for the children's home. She said, when I became a part of the children's home, I was not a very nice person, and I was doing everything wrong that I could possibly do. 33, I'm married, I have two children, I love the Lord, and I thank you all. And that's what the children's home, it does for everybody. So I thank you for all your help in helping do that. Thanks.
Amen. Sometimes we don't feel a part of the missions, but we are a part of a big mission out there in the United Methodist Church. It's everywhere in the world, and we need to take pride in that and help where we can. There is another thing. If you look at your bulletin in the center, it shows pumpkin patch every night this week. Not. But we do have emergency need. We've had a few people that's been up here working quite consistently and putting in a lot of hours, and we're needing some help here to finish this out. This afternoon, between 3 to 6, we need a couple volunteers, minimum. And from 6 to close, we have nobody. At 3 o'clock, it will shut down if we don't have some help. We need some help. Also, tomorrow, from 12 to 3 and from 6 to close, we are in dire need to have some help. Would you like to expand on that, Miss Barber? Pumpkin patch? Oh, who did you say? Oh, well, that's leading up to trunk or treat. Just because she's financed, don't make her in charge of pumpkin patch, too, does it? Trunk or treat sounds more like pumpkin patch.
Well, we can pass the word that we need help for pumpkin patch, and for those that haven't bought their pumpkins, to please buy your pumpkins while you're at the trunk or treat Monday night at 6 to 8. So far, we have 7 persons involved. If you still wish to participate, just come on down. We're just going to meet here at 5:30, get things set up so we can hopefully have a lot of kids come through. I'm encouraging those with the committees, chairs, or people of the committees, come out and mingle amongst the children and their families and pass the word that Calvary's the church to be at, and just have a good time. If you wish to dress up, us adults, there are a few of us that are donning our alter egos. So, anyways, that's what I want to say, and that goes along with the pumpkin patch.
All right, them times again for the pumpkin patch, 3 to 6 today, 6 to close. From 12 to 3 and 6 to close tomorrow also. Let's finish it out.
Somehow, as finance chair, it did fall upon my shoulders to get people to work. And that's what I've been trying to do, and I certainly appreciate and thank everybody who have assumed that responsibility of fulfilling that commitment that we made when we said we would do the pumpkin patch. I just wanted to share with you that yesterday, because it's getting so close to the end of the time, we sold over $1,500 worth of pumpkins. It would be a shame to have to close it down today or tomorrow, those 2 days early, because the people are going to be coming in here. But more than the money, so much more than the money, is the joy that you see on the little one's face when they run through that pumpkin patch and they get to pick their own very own pumpkin. And when you see people come in and say, well, I've been bringing my child here since they were little and now they're big. So this is a tradition with some families to come to this pumpkin patch and this pumpkin patch alone. We had one come in, and she drives from Baldwin to come to this pumpkin patch. She says, I won't go to any other. So it is a tradition for this church. And I know we always say we can't stand on tradition, but some traditions are good. Thank you for your help, and I hope we get somebody else to cover. Thank you.
And we thank you for taking the position of finance chair. That's not an easy position to start with without spending the rest of your time selling pumpkins. So please help. All right, one more. Speak loudly.
Good morning. As you know, we've had a drive going for the food bank to partner with Ameris Bank. We have today and tomorrow left to try to meet our goal that I set at 3,000 items. We are very, very, very close, right around 2,800 items at this moment. And I haven't counted what has been brought in today and yesterday. The other thing is on Tuesday I had the pleasure of attending a dinner that the Orange Park Rotary put on, where they distribute the money that they raise from different events to different charities. And we were the recipients of a check for $500 from the Orange Park Rotary. If you're not aware of what the Rotary is, it's a group of business people from this area that in a group that help raise money for charities and different organizations. So please support your local businesses because it does come back to us.
If you would now turn in your to the back of the brown part of your bulletin. For all those who have paved the way of our freedom of worship, we give thanks, O Lord. For those who work in our church that we may come to know what it means to serve, we give thanks, O Lord. Praise be to God who continually inspires and guides workers and witnesses.
Open our hearts and spirits, O Lord, and help us to become good workers for you.
Amen.
If you would stand and turn to page 711, which is a change from what's in the bulletin, 711, we'll sing For All the Saints. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 6. Verse 6. Turn to 882. We'll have our affirmation of faith. We'll all read together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he arose again, ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and life of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
I do have to remind you today that because we're having potluck right after church, we don't have children's church today. We have nursery, of course, but we don't have children's church. So I just needed to remind you. We just said something that I wanted to point out to you because today is called All Saints Day. All Saints Day. And we just read the affirmation of faith, and one of those lines in the affirmation of faith said this: I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Does anybody know what a saint is? What would the communion of saints be? Anybody want to tell me? Bradley, what do you think? Say again. It's like a group of saints. Yes, but who's a saint? Tell me about saints. What is a saint? That's okay, sweetheart. No, he's not a god. Saints are not gods, but we sometimes put them up on pedestals. We people are saints, yes. We sometimes think a saint is somebody who's good all the time and makes no mistakes, but that's not true of anybody. Everybody makes mistakes, and we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. One who through their lives, the way they live their lives, that God shines through them. You can see a part of God in a saint. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. Now, the communion of saints, Bradley's right. It's a collection of saints, and we are going to honor in just a few minutes, we're going to honor the saints that have gone on to the other side. They're no longer with us, and we say we want to remember them because they teach us a lot about our faith and about who God is. But guess what, boys and girls? We have a lot of saints in this church. We have saints that are sitting in these pews and up there in that choir, and down here on the floor, we have saints because God shines through your lives, the things that you do. And I am so grateful to you for being a saint. And we're going to look to one another as being saints together. We're a communion of saints. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray through Christ, we pray. Amen. And you may have some candy. A piece. A piece. Once you have your candy, you need to let other people get in. You got it. All right, sweetheart. You're welcome. You have to choose one. It's hard. You're welcome. Ashton is waiting patiently, and so is Anna. Did you get one yet? Find your piece. Find your piece. Okay, sweetheart. Okay, Ashton. Here you go. Find your piece. There you go. All right. continue to worship and serve our God through the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and offerings, and would invite the ushers to please come forward. Let us pray. Help us, O God, to lead lives of gratitude and hope, that you shower blessings upon us and we lift your name on high today and every day for your goodness. And pray your blessing upon us, the gifts we bring, and the work that we do in your name. Through Christ we pray.
I just want to call to your attention, Robin Stowers is the epitome of commitment. She sat out there with her family and then had that robe and put it on and got up here to sing. So it just should go to show you that if you're not singing in the choir because you think you're too busy out there or something, you're not.
Thank you.
I want to thank the choir. That was lovely. A change of pace and a very well appreciated one. Thanks. Before we get into a time of prayer, I want to share with you a letter from our friends, Frank and Felita. Everybody knows who Frank and Felita are? Right there. Stand up so everybody knows who you are. Well, sad to say, we have to tell them goodbye. It's breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart. But they wanted to let you know how much this church has meant to them. So I have something to share with you that they gave me to read. Felita and Frank thank the church, Calvary, for God giving us this church. We are very thankful. We thank Calvary for accepting us as members of this church. We are returning back to New York because Frank has a mission to serve God. He will help the high school kids to turn their life around. Isn't that great? And Felita says she has to return back to New York for health reasons. We love the church, the pastor, the choir, the piano player, and also the congregation for welcoming us. Thank you so much, and may God bless you, and we will be sending our tithes to the church. Love, Felita and Frank. Yay. Well, let us say how much we love you, and you will be greatly missed, and I still have a hope that you will come back and be among us again. You have been a part of our family, and we are grateful for you. Thank you very much. As I mentioned to the children, today is All Saints Day, and what I would like to do is remember those church members who have died within the last year. And what we're going to do is spend first some few moments in silence, and then I will lift up the name of someone who has died, and you will hear a chime at the end of that name to recognize every single person that has died. And then we will conclude with a prayer. Let's go to God in silent prayer. Betty Bayer. Cora Ordonez. Louis Ordonez. Sarah Passmore. Eleanor Rupert. For all of these, dear Lord, and for many, many more who are much closer to us and dear to our hearts, we lift up in prayer today. We remember them and what they have meant to us in our lives. We give you thanks for their life among us, and know that you have taken them to yourself, and that they are at peace and at rest with you in the great eternal home. We pray, dear God, for each one of us who are the communion of saints. Let our love of you shine through our pores. Let our faith, dear God, be lived in the present moment. Guide and direct our lives as we look to these leaders of our church in their lives and pray, dear God, your blessing upon us as your servants and saints in the world today. Give us everything we need, dear God, for this moment and the promise of your hope for tomorrow. And he taught us to pray when we prayed together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 557 in your hymnals, we'll sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Ephesians. You'll find it on page 235 of the New Testament in your pew Bible, or it might be on the screen. We're reading verses 11 through 23 out of chapter 1. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been disdained according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. And Paul's prayer: I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelations as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your own enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? According to the working of his great power, God put his power into the work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, as he has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May the words, may Lord add his blessings to the words. Amen.
I've been a pastor for a long time. I know you may not believe it, but it's been over 30 years since I've done this. And I have lost track of the number of funerals that I've done. Probably, in the range of 300 or 400 at least, if not more than that. And at every single service, I have assured the family and the congregation of the promise of the resurrection. I have preached it. I have counseled it. I have prayed it. And I have believed it. 20-odd years ago, when my cousin died, I remember walking up to the coffin, seeing her there in her young 32 years of life, waxy and still. And I stood there a moment, and all that I could think of was, I sure hope it's true. This resurrection business. I hope it's really true. And I have found myself in front of the coffin many times, looking down at the body of my beloved grandparents, cousin, or in-law, or friend, or parishioner. And every time, I find myself hoping that it's true. There is a vast difference, as you might imagine, when the dear departed is one of your own, connected with you through blood or perhaps marriage in ways that mean until death do us part. To a degree that the law can't impose or disentangle. What I knew in those moments in front of the coffin, and knew for hard, cold fact, was that my cousin was dead. My mother's mother and father, my other grandmother, all certifiably dead. Their bodies had ceased to function, and they were lowered into the ground to slowly, very slowly, their bodies to disintegrate. And I will never see them again. And I know that by this time in your life, you too have stood before the coffin of someone you love and care about, and seen there in that moment the impact of the loss of life. So those are the facts, my friends, the hard, cold facts. None of us get out alive. But the hope of the gospel is that God has somehow reversed that. Temporarily with the story of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus, and permanently with Jesus. And with all of us. And I stand here today to tell you that I believe in that promise. I don't know what it means. I don't know how it works. I can't hold forth on what a resurrection body looks like or what the streets of gold are paved with in heaven. But I believe the promise that eternal life, there is an existence with God. And that the way to that existence has been cleared for us by Christ. In the meantime, the life of faith is lived in that space, that emotional space before the coffin of a loved one. Somehow, we carry on, don't we? We carry on between what we know for sure and what we hope for. Poised between the cold, hard facts of death and the bright, shining promise of eternal life. We live out our trust in God in the ambiguous territory between what can be proven and what can be believed. And the same is true for all the other important words in life. Words like freedom and love and compassion and sacrifice, all of which are no more provable than resurrection. In a purely rational world, these words, none of them make sense, but they exist. And we carry on. Each day we create a faithful balance between what we know and what we hope. We know people die, and we hope in the resurrection. We know people sin, and we hope for redemption. We know people get sick and suffer, and we hope for healing. We know the world teeters on the edge of destruction, but we hope for a new heaven and a new earth. We are Christians. We hope. We hope. Amen and amen.
And I just want to prove to all of you that we're not afraid of change. And that's why we're not going to sing the hymn that's listed in the bulletin for the last hymn. We're going to be singing number 703, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. If you'd please stand. The rail will be open if you feel called.
We grow quite attached to this life because we love and people love us. And if this love that we feel and have with our family, our friends, near and far, our loved ones here in church and beyond, if that feels like home to you, if that feels good to you, think what it's going to feel like when we go to our true home. Think about that. And know for sure that the promise includes you. And leave this place with peace and hope and confidence that He is yours today and always. And I pray, dear God, for you today, that the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you always, now and forever. Go go in peace. Amen. And stay for lunch.